I'm not playing villain. I am not playing a villain.
I beg your pardon?
Nothing.
Jordan's stomach churned with first night nerves as the horses toiled steadily up Brimstone Hill toward the castle. He didn't even have the usual comfort of being able to lose himself in running through his lines. In the end, he fell back on his last resort and ran through a series of breathing exercises while concentrating very hard on the surrounding scenery. The hill itself looked surprisingly ordinary, being nothing more than a huge grass-covered mound. For a moment, it reminded him uncomfortably of Bloody Bones' barrow, but he refused to let his mind dwell on that. He looked up at the castle, and his mouth went dry. The stark black walls towered above him, bare and unadorned. Guards watched silently from the battlements, but no flags or pennants flew from the narrow towers. There was something subtly disquieting about the shape of the castle, a sense of wrongness in its angles and dimensions that grated on Jordan's nerves, made even more nightmarish by its very elusiveness. His horse tossed her head uneasily, and Jordan realized he was holding the reins so tightly that his hands were aching. He looked away from the castle and made himself concentrate on the breathing exercises. Slowly, he began to relax a little. He was the great Jordan, and this was just another acting engagement. He could do it. He just didn't want to. All too soon, the party reached the main gates. The horses waited impatiently as the huge iron portcullis inched into the air. Finally, it was up, and the party entered Castle Midnight. Roderick urged his horse forward. Jordan swallowed hard and followed him. The courtyard was brightly lit with flaring torches, and grooms and servants came hurrying forward to help the party dismount. Jordan started to swing down out of his saddle and then quickly settled back again as he saw the others hadn't moved yet. He waited patiently while the servants produced wooden blocks and placed them beside the four horses. Jordan raised a mental eyebrow as Gawain dismounted, then followed suit. A dismounting block. He'd fallen into the lap of luxury here. He stretched slowly, glad to be out of the saddle at last. He hadn't done so much riding in years, and now he knew why. He massaged his tired back with both hands and wished he felt unself-conscious enough to do the same to his aching thighs. He looked around him. His gaze fell on the dismounting block, and he frowned slightly. The other should have warned him about that. Ignorance of such everyday details was just the kind of thing that could show up an imposter. Of course, the others hadn't warned him simply because it was so much a part of their lives that they took it for granted. Jordan scowled unhappily. What else was there he hadn't been told about? The grooms took the horses away, and the servants closed in around the newcomers, proffering damp towels with which to clean the dust of travel from their faces and hands. Jordan used his gratefully, and when he was finished, he looked around for the servant who'd given it to him. The man had already vanished back into the bustling crowd of servants. Without hesitating, Jordan screwed the towel into a ball and tossed it over his shoulder without bothering to check if there was anybody there to catch it. He was a prince, after all. Princes don't care. They don't have to. He glanced unobtrusively around the courtyard, getting the feel of the place. There were far more torches and lanterns than he'd have thought necessary, but the courtyard was still a cheerless place, even with all the light. There were too many shadows, and the black stone gave the courtyard a brooding, claustrophobic atmosphere. "This isn't home," Gawain had said. "It's just a place where he happened to be living." A door opened to Jordan's right, and he looked around quickly as a middle-aged, plainly clad man entered the courtyard, flanked by two armed guards. Jordan's hand started to move toward his sword belt, and he stopped it with an effort. He couldn't afford to be seen looking worried. He held his head arrogantly high and waited for them to come to him. The new arrival was slightly below average height, with a solid, stocky frame and heavily muscled arms. At first glance, his face seemed open and even amiable, but the green eyes were wary and watchful and did nothing to mirror his professionally vague smile. His hair was a vivid red, brushed back from a sharp widow's peak, and Jordan realized with something like shock that this obviously hard, competent man dyed his hair. He made a mental note to remember that, It might be important to understanding the man.
Welcome home, Your Highness. I trust you had an enjoyable day's hunting?
Bloody awful. Didn't see a damn thing worth chasing.
Jordan started to sweat. Who the hell was this man?
How are things at court, Brian? Anything important happened since we left this morning?
Not so far, my lord. Now, if your highness will permit, I would like to accompany you to your chambers. There are security matters I need to discuss with you in private.
Brian. Brian DeGrange, head of castle security. He's in on the plot. Jordan nodded quickly to DeGrange. He'd never been any good at recognizing people from a description.
Of course. Will you accompany us, Roderick?
As you wish, sire.
With your permission, I will leave you now, sire. I have business matters that must be attended to.
And I've got work to do. With your permission, Highness.
Yes. Well, get a move on. I've got better things to do than stand around all day in a drafty courtyard.
DeGrange bowed deeply and led the way into the castle interior. Jordan wondered if he'd imagined the glint of anger he'd seen in the man's eyes just before he bowed. The two guards fell in on either side of Jordan as he left the courtyard. He did his best to pretend they weren't there. He hated to admit it, but with Gawain gone, he felt decidedly more vulnerable.